Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. Trust that our hearts have been blessed as we've already heard the word shared with us. The matter of consecration, faithfulness, thanksgiving, various themes that have come through this morning. I've been thinking, of course, I guess like a lot of you the last couple weeks, in relation to this matter of thanksgiving, thought maybe I'd share a few things in relation to that. But before we go into that, over the years, we have some changes that take place in our church schedules, I guess you'd say. One thing that we used to do almost every year, we would have a special Thanksgiving service. Often that was on a Wednesday evening. Part of that service was an open time of sharing. If someone had something they'd like to share by way of testimony, by way of thankfulness, I kind of miss that. So I thought maybe this morning, if I can keep myself under control, I guess we'll put it that way, I'd like to leave enough room at the end of the message that there could be a time of sharing. So you can be thinking about that a little bit. If you'd like to share something, what the Lord means to you, what the goodness that He has bestowed upon you the last year and so on. I've entitled the message this morning, "Let us offer a thank offering." A thank offering. And that's, the thought of that is taken from the Old Testament, from the Mosaic Law, where there was a provision for a thank offering. And I'd like to go into that just a little bit later here. And liken it to where we are today. You know, do we give a offering of thanks? Let's suppose that, I don't know if I should pick on somebody here, I guess, but let's suppose that one of the fathers brings their son to our house for a little visit. And I'd like to do something a little special for that boy. And so I rummage around, and you know, my wife makes some pretty good cookies. And so I find a cookie and I give it to that boy. And he just kind of stands there. And doesn't really say too much. And the father says, "What do you say?" "Oh, thank you." "Oh, you're welcome." Okay. We know that there's a place for teaching children what is proper. It's good training. But you know, if I would hand that cookie to that boy, and he would say, "Oh, thank you very much," I would get the impression that he really appreciated it. And he wasn't going through just a formality of saying thank you. I'm afraid that maybe too often in our expressions of thanksgiving to God, we go through a formality. We know that we should say thank you because that's what we've been taught. That's what our parents said. Maybe that's what the preachers say. Maybe that's what the Sunday school teacher said, or a school teacher, or whatever. But you know, how often do we need to be reminded? Now just say thank you. Okay, all right, I will. For some reason, God in His Word, in His written Word, has seen the need to remind us to say thank you. As near as I can find, the phrase "give thanks" is found about 35 times in the Bible. And I might ask the question, is that a suggestion or is it a command? I believe it's a reminder. We tend to forget, and it's a reminder. So why do we need to be reminded? Because when we have many of the, and I'm thinking particularly of material blessings now, spiritual blessings would be true as well, but when we have so many blessings, you know, when people have plenty of material things, There's good food. Our freezers are full. Our shelves are stocked. We have plenty of warm clothes for the winter. And there's sturdy houses that we live in to withstand the storms. And we have family and we have friends. And there's some money in the bank for future needs. Surely we would be a grateful people. But not so. Not necessarily. You know, those of us with lots of good things tend to be complainers. Well, the food just doesn't taste good. And, that dress isn't the right color. I want a different color. That couch doesn't fit the decor. My job is boring, and I don't have enough money to buy that new car. Well, you know, we tend to complain, even though we have so many good things. You know, so often, those who have the least are the most grateful. And Myron was talking about Haiti this morning. I suppose that would be true there. I've seen that in Central America in some of my visits there, that those who are that have so little can be so happy. Their wants are little, so it doesn't take so much to satisfy. And then we read accounts of those that are maybe given a box by Cam. And a box of food that's supposed to last them for a month. Well, you know, I don't know how far that food would go at our house. Probably, I don't think it would go a month. And it brings such joy. And they share it with their neighbors. And they, with tears in their eyes, they thank and bless the giver. One thing that impressed me in looking at this subject again this time, even though we are admonished again and again in the Scriptures to be thankful, never does God force it upon us. It is a free will offering. It is something that we do or give of our own volition. Maybe you could turn with me to Luke 17, and we often think of this little story. In relation to being thankful, the story of the 10 lepers, I'm going to just read it, not going to spend a lot of time here, but there was something here that really impressed me as I looked at this here again this past week. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, we often hear this story and how this man came back and thanked Jesus. But Jesus said, it was just this one that came back and what? Thank me? He said he came back and gave glory to God. And so I believe this morning that our expressions of thanksgiving should not necessarily point to self, but it should be to honor and glorify the giver. All right. Going now a little bit more to the title of our message, let us offer a thank offering. Under the Mosaic law, there was a provision for sacrifice to God, both for one's sinful nature, for actual sins that were committed, and of a free will offering because of what God had done. So let's get that picture. And it's a little bit hard to decipher all of these, but I think if we study into it, we can get somewhat of a picture. Because of the sinful nature of man, because I am outside of God's provision, there were sacrifices that needed to be made because of my sinful condition. And then there were other sacrifices because of specific sins that I have committed. And then because of all of God's mercy and because of His graciousness and His forgiveness and so on, then there were sacrifices of thanksgiving communal. Those that were voluntary. Peace offering, that's what I was after. Peace offering. Okay, so the first category, offerings to atone for the sin of the people. And these were like the sin offering and the guilt offering. And it shows how important it is to have the matter of sin dealt with before our offer of thanksgiving is acceptable to God. And the second category then we would know as, or we would see as consecrated offerings. Here one offering would represent the act of committal. And it would meet the need of the sin and the guilt that accompanies one's wrong actions. And these would be like the burnt offerings and the meat, or actually that meat offering is actually a meal offering, drink offerings and so on. And then the third offering, which we want to look at a little bit more here this morning, is called the communal offerings. And these offerings consist of those offerings that express a voluntary desire on the part of the one offering them. They were not required. They didn't have to do this. But they were permitted to do it. Now, if they were going to, there were certain regulations that they had to follow. And these would have been like the peace offering and the wave offering and the thank offering and the votive, or what that would be is if someone has performed a vow, a free will offering. These were things that could be brought. So when one brought a peace or a thank offering, it was voluntary. Part of that sacrifice, whether it was animal or whether it was grains, was placed on the altar to sacrifice to God. Part of that was assigned to the priests, that the priest and his family could partake of that food and eat. And part of that was returned back to the one who had offered it. And it became the food in a social feast with him and his family and maybe even some of his acquaintances. And so the thought here, and this blessed me as I looked at this, it's the idea that this thank offering is something where we have fellowship with God because we've offered it to God, and with the priest because it was done through the priest, and the sacrificing servant received part of that, all partaking of that one offering, whether it be animal or food. In other words, all parties were in fellowship. And so as I looked at a number of scriptures in relation to praise and worship and thanksgiving, it was meaningful to me to just think about it, that this is voluntary. And so now keep in mind here, when we get to the point where I'd like to have you share, I want it to be voluntary. Not because you think you have to, not because you are afraid somebody's going to look down on you if you don't say something, but because you want to praise the Lord for what He's done for you. All right, I'd like to just read several verses here. First of all, in Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, verse 29 says, "And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own free will." I like that verse. When ye will offer an offering of sacrifice, do it at your own free will, not because you have to. And you know, we could equate this to the offering plate that's passed. okay, well, I better give a certain amount because if I don't, then I'm not doing my duty. But no, it says here that when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, offer it at your own free will. Psalms 119, verse 108 says this, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." So here the psalmist said, accept the free will offerings of what? Of my mouth, of my praise. And we could go through the psalms and find all kinds of verses in relation to praise. I believe the psalmist was one that from a heart of thanksgiving and joy, he let people know of his relationship with his Maker. All right, Psalm 116, verse 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all the benefits toward me?" Now, I think that we've all received benefits. We've experienced those things. And what shall I render to the Lord? Well, we go on down. Let's see, verse 17. Here's what I will offer. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord." So what will we offer? We'll offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 40, verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered." You know, we won't have time this morning to number, to enumerate all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in the last year. But it says, "O Lord, your works are wonderful, and your thoughts to usward, and they cannot be reckoned in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered." So I trust that this gives us a little bit of a framework to go from. So we'd like to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to take a little time first, if I may. Maybe that's selfish, but there's something the last several months I just felt I needed to share with the congregation, because you have been you've been so faithful in the past in your prayer for us, for my wife in particular. I'll get to that here in just a little bit. One more thing I'd like to say. In Psalm 35, verse 18, he says this, "I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." Now, you can thank the Lord at home. You can thank the Lord just between you and him, and that's fine. You should. But there is also a time for sharing on a much broader scale, and that's what we'd like to do this morning, and I trust I'm not scaring you away from it. I'd like to share just a little bit in relation to Ruth's health, and some of it just was impressed on me here several months ago, how that unbeknownst really to us some of the seriousness of what she was facing, and how God so graciously answered. Actually, it was a year ago this week, the first part of December, that Ruth and I flew to L.A. and expected for her to continue on the treatment of the medication on this clinical trial that she had started a couple months earlier than that. And I don't know if you remember, but there for a while we went down every week, and then we went every 2 weeks. So we flew down on a Wednesday, expecting to spend two nights and come back Friday. We had tickets to come back Friday. So they always do a blood work, and when they did the blood work this time, her white blood count was down, I think, around 300. Should be in at least, I say at least, it should be around the 2,000, maybe even 2,500. And the white blood count, white blood cells are the first line of defense against infection. And so being dangerously low, an infection could spread through the blood in a very short time. So the doctor said, you can't go home. We're going to have to deal with this, and you probably remember this. You're not going to be able to go home. We need to get her built back up before she can go home. He said that in the next 5 days we'll try to get her built up to where her blood count is safe for her to leave. And we had strict instructions. If she got any chills, a slight fever, get to the emergency room immediately. He told us we had to get closer to the hospital than where we were staying. We needed to stay away from crowds. If we were going to go shopping, it needed to be in the middle of the day so there wouldn't be so many people. All this kind of stuff. But you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. So I called Steve and told him our situation and requested prayer. And I know that many of you prayed, probably all of you prayed on our behalf. We were able to return home then on Monday. I'm not sure, I think it was close to 10 weeks till she was actually able to go back on to treatment. And then it was at two-thirds of the rate she'd been on, and she's tolerated well since then, seems to be effective. More than once, the oncologist, the doctor there, has called her the Wonder Woman or the Miracle Lady or terms that way. And I think it was about 3 months ago we were down there, and he was just relating to an assistant in the room there where he was examining her. Said, you know, he said, in December last year, she was really in bad shape. And he told Ruth, he said, you had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peeling. Well, now, just a minute. She says, so now you tell me. But I guess we didn't quite realize the seriousness of it. That same day, we had an appointment with the surgeon who's done a couple surgeries on her. And we talked about the same thing with him. And he said, yeah, he said he was really concerned, too. And then he just, we said, well, you know, we're really thankful that you come through as good as you did. And he just said, you know, just pointed up. As I look at that whole thing and put things together now, I think they were really concerned whether she would actually come through that, and particularly whether she'd be able to go back onto treatment. And it came very clear to me as we sat there in that doctor's office that this was a definite answer to prayer, both before that, during that time, and after that time. And so I'd just like to testify this morning before God's people that God is faithful and He saw us through. But I'd also like to thank all of you for your prayers and concern during that time. And I'm sure, you know, there's probably all kinds of stories you could tell, but I just thought I'd like to share that sometime. Because it was very clear, very meaningful to us there. All right, we've got about half the time left here now. And I've asked TJ to get some mics. If you have something you'd like to say, just let it be known so one of the ushers or whoever can get it to you. If you want to say some things that we can't hear, I just assume you go home and say it to God and it yourself. But we'd like to hear what you have to say. So I know the mic can be a little bit intimidating, but if we don't, we're going to have some things said that two-thirds of us won't hear. So I'd just like to... Okay, so we're going to open it up. If you have something... That